Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Coming to you from Classic City,
the capital of the Bulldog Nation,
it's time for another edition of the podcast designed for the most die-hard Georgia fans in the country.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Glory UGA podcast, brought to you by our great friends at MyBookie. And guys, we are entering the home stretch of this 2024 college basketball season. The NCAA tournament is one short week away. In fact, less than a week away as I sit here recording this on Wednesday night. So don't wait any longer, guys. Time is running out. Jump in on this deal while you can. All you have to do to take advantage of this 50% bonus on your first deposit deal is go to mybookie.ag, use our promo code UGA when you sign up for a brand new account, and you know the drill. They're going to hook you up with that 50% deposit bonus, so jump on it while you still can. But all right, guys, I am your host, Tyler, and today on the show, I'm going to bring you version one of my 2024 Georgia depth chart projection. We're right here at the very, very beginning of spring practice, so I figured why not go ahead and throw this out right now before we get too far into spring drills. Now, ideally, I would have preferred to have done this before spring practice started, but Curtis was available on Sunday. I wanted to make sure we did our full-on spring practice preview. It just didn't really make sense to do a depth chart projection when Curtis was on the episode, because what am I going to do, just like give out my projection? Curtis is like, yeah, I agree. That's not good podcasting. So I didn't want to do it on Sunday. And then ideally, I would have done it yesterday, like the start of spring practice. Had that for you guys when spring practice began, the day it opened. But it also happened to be my wife's birthday. And, you know, I kind of like her, so I want to spend the day with her, at least as much of it as I possibly could. So here I am on Wednesday night recording this episode one day after spring drill started. So yeah, I know. We're technically 1.5 days into spring practice. But the very first day, Tuesday, there's not really much of a practice going on. It's a lot of just kind of getting acquainted to things and like getting everybody back into the practice habits. And then, of course, today it's pro day, so there's nothing going on. We only practice on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays. So there's been essentially no news at this point coming out of spring practice because they have hardly been on the practice field. The only news that we really have is Kirby's press conference when he kind of went through some guys who are either not going to be practicing this spring or are going to be limited this spring. And we'll cover all that for you guys on Monday's episode, which is going to be our week one spring practice recap. We'll have all that for you. We're going to let the whole week play out, and we're going to put all of that news, all of those developments into one episode for you. We're going to do that every week throughout the course of the entirety of spring practice. So what I'm saying is, even though we are 1.5 days into spring practice, this 2024 Georgia football depth chart projection version 1.0 is unencumbered by any news coming out of spring practice because we haven't gotten any news. So I'm going to run with it. And what this is a depth chart projection for week one. I'm not talking about G-Day because G-Day is all weird. You got to divide the teams up. That's not what this is. This is a week one depth chart projection. That doesn't necessarily mean who I think is going to be starting by week six or seven. This is week one when we open the season against Clemson in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I will update this again post-spring after we have all the information from spring practice to work with. And then I'll update it again a couple of weeks into fall camp when we have a lot more information to work with and the season is just right around the corner, knocking on the door. So yeah, this has nothing to do with like G-Day. This is all about week one, looking ahead based on what we know right now before we've really gotten into spring practice and certainly before we've gotten into fall camp. So let's go ahead and dive into this. I'm going to start with the offense and we'll run through every position offensively and then we'll flip it over and we'll do the defense. But starting at the top with this Georgia offense, at quarterback, this is the most obvious answer on the entire team. This is as easy as it gets. Carson Beck is the undisputed starter at quarterback. I'm not going to spend any time on that. We all understand that. Really, the backup is going to be Gunnar Stockton. Ryan Pugliese, I think, is going to be really good for us, but he is a true freshman. Gunnar Stockton has been in this system now for 3 years. He is going to be the top backup. I believe that we are going to hear some good things about Ryan Pugliese. I think we're going to hear about him flashing and showing that he is mature beyond his years and he's going to be really good, but he is not going to really legitimately push Gunnar Stockton for that number two spot this year. this season, spring practice, fall camp, all throughout the 2024 season. For Ryan Puglisi, this is about him getting himself up to speed and positioning himself to make a run for the starting job going into next season, the 2025 season, when he's going to compete head up with Gunnar Stockton for that job. Now, Gunnar will still have the edge and experience, obviously, but that's what this is all about. All year long for Ryan Puglisi is about getting himself in position from a knowledge standpoint, from a skill standpoint, developing his game, all of those things, getting himself in position to make that run for the 2025 season. So yeah, quarterback, let's not waste any time. It's Carson Beck, number one. He's your QB1, and QB2 is going to be Gunnar Stockton. Hands down, zero questions asked. All right, moving on. Let's go to the running back position. This one I do think is somewhat intriguing. Now, if Branson Robbins had never gotten hurt last year, I mean, he would have been our starting running back last year, and he would have been like the incumbent starter this year. But that's not the situation that we find ourselves in. Branson Robinson is still working himself back from a very difficult patella injury. I mean, he ruptured his patella tendon, guys. That is a very, very difficult injury to rehab from, and it's taken him some time. Now, what I had been hearing behind the scenes for, you know, the past couple months, and I told you guys this when we did our spring practice primer series, when we were talking about the running back position. I've been hearing that Branson Robinson, like his recovery is taking longer than they had hoped it would, and taking a little bit longer than it had expected. Now, Kirby seemed to throw some cold water on that notion. He was saying in his opening press conference, it's a 9-month recovery. We're in like month 7.5-ish. And after spring practice is over, he should be essentially ready to go through the summer into fall camp. So that was music to my ears. That's great news. I mean, it kind of contradicts what I've been hearing over the past couple of months from some people around the program, but hey, whatever. I'm glad to hear that. That's awesome. But Branson, you have to also understand, again, significant injury. And you have to imagine that there's going to be some lingering effects of that injury. Yeah, he'll be several months removed from like when he's cleared by that point, hopefully, at least based on what Kirby said at his press conference. But there's a mental hurdle there. And there's certainly just getting your body back into game condition when you're essentially a full year removed from contact and doing the kind of things that you have to do when you're playing a football game and even going through a practice. It takes a little bit of time. And Nick Chubb, I know it's a very different injury. I understand that, guys. But I still think that it can be instructive in a lot of ways. It's the same position. It's a running back position. And Nick was good in 2016 when he came back. But he wasn't the same Nick that we saw prior to the injury, and he wasn't the same Nick that we saw a year removed from the injury, a year further removed from the injury in 2017. So I'm very hopeful that Branson is going to be 100% the old Branson, but we don't know that right now. So that kind of throws some intrigue into this equation. So with the uncertainty surrounding Branson Robinson, again, I know Kirby said that he should be ready for fall camp in a couple of months. That's fantastic. But you know who's going to be here all throughout spring practice and, knock on wood, is going to be healthy and going through all the drills? Trevor Etienne. And as talented as Branson is physically, Etienne is also extremely gifted. So I think the combination of Etienne getting all of these reps that he's going to get during spring practice. Now, he has to adjust to our system, and Branson's been around our program and in our program in the meetings. He knows the system inside now. He knows that stuff. He has an edge there. But I think that having all the reps during spring will help Etienne catch up in that regard to a certain degree. And in fall camp, he's not having to worry about returning to form. He should already be in form. So if I'm projecting week one against Clemson, I do believe that Branson and Etienne will be our top two backs. It's going to be a 1-2 punch. So who starts, it's somewhat irrelevant. They're both going to play if Branson is healthy enough to play. But if I had to put money on it right now, I'm putting my money on Etienne opening the season against Clemson as the starting running back, with Branson getting a fair number of the carries as well. If you think about it, week one, it wouldn't surprise me to see our coaching staff at a position that does take a lot of contact kind of work Branson back in slowly and cautiously. And having a guy like Etienne in your same backfield, that gives you the luxury of doing that. And when you also have young guys like Roger Grobbison, Andrew Paul, and Chauncey Bones, who's here for spring practice as an early enrollee, Nate Frazier, Dwight Phillips will be here in fall camp. You have enough bodies back there that can do good things for you at that position that you kind of have the luxury of working Branson back in a little bit slowly and just making sure that he has confidence in the knee and that you're not going to have any sort of re-injury situation and just getting him up to speed slowly but surely, gradually getting into the season. So that's how I see the running back position playing out at least week one. Now, by the time we get to mid-season, will Branson be back in old Branson form? Hopefully, very possibly. And that might change the equation, but we're not looking at that right now. Right now, I'm looking directly to week one and who's going to start that opening game against Clemson. All right, let's move along here to the wide receivers. Now, this is another position where I think there's some intrigue at the X receiver position. Ra-Ra Thomas is essentially more or less the incumbent starter as our X receiver, but he did deal with an injury the last couple of weeks of the season. He's kind of been dealing with that injury throughout the early parts of the offseason, but once we get into fall camp, he should be fine, unless something else pops up, which, again, knock on wood, let's hope something like that doesn't happen to him or anyone else on this roster. Please, God, I wait. This time of year, I get up every morning. The first thing I do is check websites and see, like, oh my God, did anybody get hurt? Check my text. See if anybody I know sent me a text over the night while I was sleeping saying, hey, somebody's leg fell off. It is legitimately a constant worry of mine. Now, it's less of a worry under Kirby Smart because I have such faith in the roster that he has built that we are bigger than any one player. Obviously, there are some players who are a little bit more important than others, but over the past couple of years, we've seen a number of our top players get injured, like George Pickens, Amarius Mims, Ladd McConkey. And I don't want to say that we haven't skipped a beat, but we've largely been able to compensate for those injuries. I mean, save the SEC Championship game last season against Alabama, but we put together three consecutive undefeated regular seasons. And we dealt with a number of injuries, guys, especially this past season, and we still went through the regular season undefeated. So I still worry about it. It's always a worry of mine, but I guess I don't worry about it as much as I did prior to Kirby Smart. But anyway, back to the wide receiver position. Ra-Ra Thomas probably will be the guy to open the season as our starter at X. And I will project him right now to be that guy based on the experiential edge he has over the Miami transfer, Colby Young. I am very high on Colby Young. I think he has alpha number one wide receiver. He is taller. He is longer than Ra-Ra Thomas. He is a contested catch machine. He's really athletic and elusive in space for a guy that size. A guy that tall has no business being as good in space as he is. But he's also one of the guys that Kirby Smart mentioned that might be limited somewhat this spring dealing with an offseason injury. And I do think that hurts his push to unseat Ra-Ra Thomas because this spring would have been a really good opportunity for him. I know you're still kind of learning the system and all those things, but if Ra-Ra is still kind of somewhat limited himself dealing with the injury from late last season and you're full go, you're full speed, you're fully healthy, that would have given you an opportunity to really take on a lot of reps and show what you're capable of and maybe make your claim for that spot. But if you're also somewhat limited by injury, then that takes away your ability to do that. And we've seen this before with Kirby Smart. If there's a new guy coming to this system, even though you might, whether it's a true freshman or a transfer, even though you think he might be the most talented option out there long term, he tends to defer initially to open the season, at least in terms of starting games, to the guys that have been around longer. It makes the newcomers really prove it in the game setting. And I think that's largely a good way to run your program because you don't want the guys that have put all of the blood, sweat, and tears in your program, invested so much time and energy and effort into your program, then think that, hey, you're just bringing these guys off the street and just giving them my job. Like, you want to say, look, man, I'm giving you every opportunity, but you have to go out there and earn it. I'm making them earn it. But if they earn it, they take your job. So that's typically what we've seen from Kirby Smart. I mean, go back to opening the 2022 season against Oregon in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, right? Malachi Starks did not get the start in that game. Everybody knew he was more physically gifted than Dan Jackson, but Dan had been in the program. Dan had paid his dues, so Kirby rewarded him by giving him that start. But Malachi in that game made it so obvious that he was the superior player that week two, you had no choice. You owe it to your team to put that guy out there if he goes and he earns it in the game setting, which is exactly what Malachi Starks did. So I'm very open to the possibility that Colby Young will do something similar to that. And if he does, it's not as though Ra-Ra Thomas is just going to disappear from the field. Receiver's a different situation than safety. We typically don't really rotate at safety. That's a spot that we just kind of roll with who we've got. We don't like to rotate that spot traditionally. Receiver, we do. We rotate all the time. In fact, sometimes I feel like we rotate too much. So they're both going to play regardless of who starts. I'm very confident that those will be our top two guys at the X position. But if you're asking me who's going to open the season week one as the starter, I'm a history guy. I love history. I'm going to go with the history of this program under Kirby Smart, and I'm going to say he's going to defer to Ra-Ra Thomas because it's not like Ra-Ra is some bum. He's a really talented player in his own right. I'm going to go with Ra-Ra to open the season. Colby Young will back him up. They'll both play a lot week one. And there's certainly that possibility that Colby Young will unseat him at some point in the season and become the starter and get more reps at that spot. But I need to see it first. I need to hear these things coming out of spring practice and coming out of fall camp. It's one thing for me to think that this guy, based on what I've seen from him, has the skill set and the ability to be that ridiculous alpha number one guy. But we need to see it here within this program. So until I see it, I'm going to defer to Rahrah Thomas, who, again, is a really good player in his own right at that position. Then at the Z receiver position, I'm going to go Dylan Bell. I think this one's pretty obvious to me. I think Dylan Bell did enough late last season to not only show me what he can do at the receiver position, but to show our coaches that, hey, coach, like, I am a receiver. I know you had to play me at running back by necessity, and I'm a team guy, and I'll do what you need me to do, but this is what I can do at this spot. This is my position. And coming into the year, as talented as a guy like Arian Smith is physically, as fast as he is, he has not yet shown the ability to be a all-around receiver the way that Dylan Bell has. Dylan Bell is unbelievable, guys. He has a running back body. He's a very unique-looking receiver. He's built like a running back, but he has really good short area quickness. He's a really crisp route runner, especially for a guy who didn't spend all that much time in the receiver room last year. Spent a lot of time in the running back room, splitting time between running back and receiver room. He's got great hands, strong hands, really good body control, just a great overall athlete. And he's tough after the catch, man. I mean, not only is he elusive and explosive in space, he's physical. He can run through arm tackles. He is that quintessential, quote-unquote, football player. That's what Dylan Bell is. So I'm very confident that he is going to be the starter at Z. We're not going to need him at running back this year unless there's like a nuclear bomb that goes off in the running back room, because we have enough bodies and talented bodies in that room where it shouldn't be a problem. So if he's going to be a receiver full-time and spend all of his time in receiver meetings, he is going to be really, really good for us. There's a world where he might be our top option at receiver. It honestly felt that way the last couple weeks of the regular season. So I'm definitely going Dylan Bell to open the season as the starter at Z. And then to back him up, I'm going to keep my faith in Arian Smith, guys. This guy has been around for a long time. Yes, his growth has been stunted over the year due to injuries and having to battle back from those injuries. It's been tough for him. And he was a really raw receiver coming to high school. He's a track guy that was trying to learn how to play football, and that set him back. But he has been here a while, guys. Like, he's going into year five now. This guy, I remember 2020. I remember I was so excited right before the Florida game. The news popped that, hey, Arian Smith's on the team playing. He's traveling with the team. I'm like, uh-oh, because I knew how fast this guy was. Like, okay, maybe he's turned the corner. Because he dealt with a wrist injury his freshman year, and he got cleared, and then he's ready to go. And, like, we needed a shot in the arm offensively that season, right? And so I was like, okay, maybe this guy is going to be that guy. And then he didn't really play. I got all my hopes up for nothing. And he gets injured again going into sophomore year. But he was on the team in 2020. We're going into the 2024 season. This is his fifth year in the program. It is truly now or never for Arian Smith. And I still believe in him. I believe in him for a couple of reasons. Number one, the skill set, the speed. That's unteachable. You got it or you don't. And this dude has world class. Maybe that's a bit aggressive, but borderline world class speed. Like legitimate college level track speed, 10, 100 meter stuff. I mean, he was on the 4x1 relay team with Matthew Bowling. This dude can fly. But more than that, I always go back to what I hear behind the scenes about Arian Smith. I've always been told by anyone that I know that has any knowledge of the situation, knowledge of this guy behind the scenes, that Arian Smith is one of the good dudes on the team. That he is one of those dudes that just works his tail off week in and week out. And like, it's one of those guys you root for. You want good things to happen for him because he is such a good guy. He works so hard. He's such a good teammate. He's such a mature young man. He's had to battle through so much adversity throughout his entire career at Georgia that you just want good things to happen for him. So I root really hard for Arian, not just for our team, but obviously him being good is really good for our team, as we saw in the Peach Bowl a couple years back. But I want it for the guy. Like, he's a guy that deserves some good things to happen to him. So I'm sticking by him. I believe he is going to be a factor for us this year. I'm not saying he's going to start, but I think he's going to start to put it together and be more a factor than he ever has at any point in his career. Now, I know he dealt with some drops last year. Those were isolated cases. That was not really a problem of his prior to last season. Sometimes it happens. It happened to Ladd McConkey for a couple games back in 2022, right? Well, Ladd ended up being okay. So I don't want to put too much into a couple of drops last season because his opportunities really diminished late in the season. But it seemed like when he got in the field and got opportunities, he had those drops. And so it stood out to us because it's like, hey, we haven't seen Arian Smith. Now we see him and he's dropping the ball. Now we know why you're not playing. But that's somewhat unfair to the guy. So I am going to keep my faith in Arian Smith and say he's going to be the number two option at the Z receiver and will play a fair amount for us this year. Then at slot, it's clear to me that Dominic Lovett is the number one guy there. In fact, Dominic Lovett might be our top receiver this year. There's a number of guys that could be that number one receiver for us this year. And that's something we need to figure out. Like, who is going to be that top option with no Brock Bowers? Is it going to be the Stanford transfer in Benjamin Urosik when he gets to campus in May? Maybe. But maybe it's one of these guys, a receiver. Maybe it's Rahrah Thomas. Maybe it's Colby Young. Maybe it's Dylan Bell. Maybe it's Dom Lovett. There's a world where it could be any of those guys. And that's kind of a cool thing. That's a cool situation. Now, of course, on one hand, if you're a glass half empty kind of guy, you'd sit there and say, well, that just means we don't have anybody. Like, we don't have an alpha receiver. We have so many options that could be. So you could look at it that way, and maybe you're right. Or you could be a glass half full guy and say, well, we just have so many options that it could be any of them. And even if it's not one guy being that legitimate alpha receiver, we have so many really, really good players that they do it by committee. And I don't know how it'll play out, but I think you can look at it one of two ways. And it'll be interesting ultimately how it does play out. But I think we have a lot of options that could ultimately end up being that guy. And Dominique Lovett is one of them. He was that guy for Missouri back in 2022, which is why I have confidence that if needed, he could be that guy. Now, he's a different kind of receiver than Ra-Ra Thomas or Colby Young, and even a different receiver than like a Dylan Bell or Arian Smith. But at what he does, if we use him the right way, in a way that maximizes his skill set, he absolutely can be the top receiver on this team. He absolutely could be. So he's going to be the starter at slot. He's the incumbent starter, and there's no reason for me to think that anyone is going to come snatch that position from him. Now, behind him is a guy that I'm also very, very high on. I don't think he's ready to take the spot from Lovett yet. And Kirby was talking very, very glowingly about Lovett and the type of leader, the type of player, the type of worker he is behind the scenes. And Kirby loves those kind of guys. Like, he has a soft spot for those kind of guys, and he tends to defer to those players, especially ones who were upperclassmen and play a lot of football. So I fully expect him to be the starter. I honestly have zero doubts about that. He's going to be the starter. But Anthony Evans is going to be a hell of a football player for us, and he is a slot receiver all the way. We got a small glimpse or two of him last year, and in those small little glimpses, he flashed, man. I mean, he had a touchdown in the Orange Bowl. I know Florida State, whatever, opting out, cool, whatever. But that guy can fly. He's not quite Arian Smith level fast, but he's 10-2, 100-meter level speed. Like, he's right behind Arian Smith. And I was told last year, like, this guy's coming on, just wait, this guy's going to be a big-time player. And now when you see some of these draft-eligible players be asked, hey, who should we watch out for at receiver next year? Like, who are the guys going to step up? One guy they've almost all mentioned is Anthony Evans. And Marcus Rosemead Jackson was the latest to do that today, actually. Now, he was asked, hey, who are the receivers we should watch out for? And of course, the first guys he wrote off were all the vets. You know, Dominique Lovett, Ra-Ra Thomas, Arian, Dylan Bell, all those guys, right? You got to. Like, you got to watch out for your boys. But at the end of that, he said also, like, watch out for Anthony Evans. Watch out for this guy because he's a baller. And that's what he is, man. He's a baller. He had to learn last year. He had to figure out what in the world was going on. But you started to see that light bulb come on late in the season. And now with a full year under his belt, he's got spring practice to work with, fall camp to work with. This guy is going to be an impact player for us. Doesn't mean he's going to play, you know, 30 snaps a game. But he is going to play. And we are going to win football games this year because of Anthony Evans. I truly believe that he has that type of speed that puts the fear of God into defense coordinators. Type of speed that you just really cannot defend. And with all the other weapons that we have offensively, if you can get him matched up one-on-one on anybody, a star defender, a safety, sometimes maybe a linebacker, if you can manufacture that matchup, none of them are going to be able to run with him. I'm talking about just a go route. If you run a go route, if you run a nine route or a slot fade, which is the same route that he got a touchdown on against Florida State, no one is running with him. No one is going to keep up with him. Now, is he fully polished as a receiver at this point? No, I don't expect that. That's why I don't expect him to start. Dominique Lovett is just much further ahead technically at this point. And Dominique Lovett is a really good athlete in his own right. He's not the same level of athlete as Anthony Evans, but he's just so far ahead from an experience standpoint, a knowledge standpoint, a technical standpoint, that he's going to be the starter. But Evans is going to play, and Evans is going to be a difference maker for us in multiple games this year. I truly do believe that. So very high on him, but I don't expect him to be the starter to open the season. All right, guys, we're going to pause right here, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to go through the offensive line. We'll wrap things up with the offense, and then we'll move on to the defense. But first, I do want to remind you once again about our great friends at MyBookie. And guys, we are dead in the middle of conference tournament week. There's tons of action to bet on this week. And of course, next week, the NCAA tournament, March Madness, will kick off. And there is no better time on the sports calendar outside of college football season than March Madness. So you want to get in on this action, guys. You know you do. And there's no better place to get in on all the action than MyBookie. They have all the best betting options. If you're into parlays like I am, they have the cash out early option. They have future options. So right now, if you think you've got the team, if you've already spotted them, and you know who's going to win the NCAA tournament, go ahead, sign up for an account, and put a future bet on them right now. Get those odds. Get them locked in so you can win bigger than ever. And MyBookie makes it so easy to get started, guys. All you have to do is go to MyBookie.ag. The whole process takes about 60-ish seconds. Click on sign up for a new account. And when you do that, use our promo code UGA. And yes, they're going to give you that 50% deposit bonus on top of your first deposit. So don't wait any longer. Jump on it right now while you can. You got about 2 weeks left, guys. And this deal is going away. So get on it now. MyBookie.ag, promo code UGA, so you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, guys, let's keep this going. Let's go to the offensive line, and let's start at left tackle. We have an incumbent starter there. I fully expect Ernest Green to hold down the starting position at left tackle this year. I don't see any reason right now why that would change. He had some struggles to open last season, as Curtis and I were talking about earlier this week, but he really came on late in the year, and I thought he was a much different kind of player the back half of the season. So I've got Ernest as a starter at left tackle. I'm going to go ahead and bring right tackle in the equation as well, because I think we're going to have a three-man rotation at tackle. That's my projection. I think we're going to have Ernest Green left tackle, and I'm going to project sophomore Monroe Freeling as a starter at right tackle, with Xavier Truss being that third guy rotating between right and left. He's another guy who's been around for 5 years. He knows the system. He can play guard. He can play tackle. He might get into a rotation at guard too, guys. He's going to be that ultimate utility man for us on the offensive line. Has an abundance of starting experience, but I just think that we have options at tackle that from an athleticism standpoint, a ceiling standpoint, a physical tool standpoint, can just do things that Xavier Truss cannot, and they're better fits at tackle. So that's why I'm going to go with Green at left tackle, Freeling at right tackle, Truss as the ultimate third man. I also want to throw in another name, a young guy that I've been hearing a lot about recently, Daniel Calhoun. Some of you might have watched this guy play. I watched him play a fair amount in high school, right? So obviously played for Walton, really good high schooler, on TV a couple times. I never got to see him play live. Watched him on TV, watched his tape. I was always impressed with him. Now, my concern with Calhoun coming into spring practice was, are you going to be ready from a physical shape standpoint? Are you in the kind of shape? Because he had some weight he needed to drop. I mean, this guy's coming in, he's 350 plus. He needed to get down to about 320-ish, 320, 325, somewhere in that range, maybe even a little bit less. And so I need to see him drop that weight. But from all accounts, it kind of sounds like he's done that. I'm not going to put him in the two deep right now because he is a true freshman. You guys know how I feel about true freshmen. Starting offensive line in the trenches, it's tough. It's a really tough spot. But that's just a name to kind of put in your back pocket. It wouldn't shock me if he worked himself in the two deep as well. All right, let's move over to the guard position. This is another spot where I think we're going to have a three-man rotation. So let's do the guards together. Left guard is probably going to be Dylan Fairchild. He was the guy that manned that spot most of last year when Marius Mims went down with injury. We moved Truss from left guard to right tackle, and we inserted Fairchild into left guard. And then at right guard, of course, we've got Tate Ratledge, who might end up being the best offensive lineman on the team. Probably right now, I would project him to be the best lineman on this team. He should be. He needs to be. Tate is an elite pass blocker and a very good run blocker. If he can take his run blocking to elite level and just be more consistent. Sometimes he just falls off, guys, and he gets off balance when he's run blocking. But if he can take that part of his game to the next level, he could be an All-American at guard. He could be. I would fully expect him to be preseason All-SEC first team. I don't know if I expect him to be preseason All-American, although it's certainly not out of the question. But if he plays well and takes his run blocking to the next level, he absolutely could be an All-American, especially if we keep winning at a high level, which I think that we will be. So I love Tate at right guard. Now, last year, Micah Morris was kind of the Xavier Truss of the guard position, right? Like he was the guy rotating at primarily left guard, but sometimes at right guard as well, replacing Tate Ratledge, giving Tate Ratledge a blow. And I expect that to be the situation again this year. Now, he could make a run to unseat Dylan Fairchild at left guard. Like, that's possible. I'm not going to discount that possibility. There were times last year where I felt like Micah Morris played better than Dylan Fairchild. Like the Auburn game, for instance, that's a game where I felt Dylan Fairchild played very poorly. I was calling for Micah Morris to start after that game. But to give Fairchild credit, he bounced back and played really well after that game, and he redeemed himself and elevated his game as the season went on. But there's really not much of a gap between those two guys. So I expect Morris to certainly, at the very least, play a lot of football in that rotation at guard. But he has a legitimate shot to win that left guard spot, and maybe Fairchild is the third guy rotating at guard. The other name to mention here, we've already talked about him, is Xavier Truss. I mean, he was a starter at guard for us in 2022. He started at guard to open last season. He moved to right tackle when Amarius Mims went down. And then once Amarius was healthy and ready to return, by that point, Fairchild and Morris were playing so well at guard that we didn't want to take him out of that spot. So Truss was the odd man out. He started to rotate some at tackle, but he was the odd man out of the starting lineup, which I think is going to be the case this year. But he can play guard. That's my point. He can play guard. He's done it. He has starting experience there. So maybe he's rotating between tackle and guard. We have like a four-man rotation at guard and a three-man rotation at tackle. There's a number of ways that it could work out. I do believe that Xavier Truss will have a role on this offensive line. What exactly that role will ultimately end up being, I think that's the question. I have no question that he's going to play. I just don't know exactly what role he is going to play. Is it going to be more as a tackle? Is it going to be more as a guard? Is it going to be a combination of both? That's what we have to find out. And then at center, we have a pretty gaping hole with Cedric Van Pran moving on to the NFL. Cedric was really good for us. His leadership, more than anything, was so, so valuable. He was a good football player for us. I don't think that his play was consistently as good as his reputation was. He did have trouble getting movement at the point of attack. A lot like Ratledge, he'd fall off guys. Sustaining blocks was a problem at times for him, but he was still very, very good for us. I just don't know if he was like, you know, an All-American like some people kind of saw him as. And Curtis was trying to make that point on Sunday. I think it was a very good point. I absolutely do 100% agree with that. So I don't know if there's going to be that much of a drop-off in terms of physical play at the center spot. The drop-off of that position is going to come in the leadership, having that voice in the huddle, even though we don't really huddle all that often anymore, and having a guy out there who knows the offense inside and out, and a guy out there who knows protections and can make those calls. That's where I have some level of concern. Not a high level of concern, but some level of concern, because the guys out that are going to be out there haven't really done that in a big game setting, right? But Jared Wilson is the likely starter here at center. In fact, I'm going to say there's like a 95% chance he's going to be the starter at center. Like I said, I think physically, there's an argument to be made that he could be better than Cedric Van Pran. Like what I saw from him, I know it's a small sample size, I really liked what I saw from him physically. I think he can get more movement. I think he's stronger. And I know that sounds like the ultimate homer. It's like, oh, we lost this guy that I love so much, and he was getting all this love and all this publicity and all these postseason awards. But none of that matters. We're going to be better at that spot next year. I know that sounds like the ultimate homer. I get that. But I believe that. I believe that physically speaking, Jared Wilson could be better than Cedric Van Pran was. Now, leadership, no. And that's valuable. That matters, guys. Culture matters. I've been very open about that over the past couple years. That is a big factor in why we have become so good. But physically, I think Jared Wilson might be an upgrade. Like, I think there's a world where that's possible. And behind Wilson, I expect to be Drew Bobo as the number two center. He's a guy that when we recruited him and he came to Athens, I had questions about whether he was like really a legitimate SEC caliber player. Was this just a situation where we got his dad on staff and Kirby wants to do his old buddy a solid, so you sign this kid? And then you think, well, Kirby Smart doesn't really operate that way. Like Kirby is about winning, and if he doesn't think this guy's going to help you win, you don't take this guy. But he was a project of sorts coming out of high school. He was not ready coming out of high school, so that's why I had questions about him. He was almost just like mush. Like his body was just mushy. He didn't look imposing. Like when you just saw the kid and you watch him on tape, and it's like, yeah, I mean, you're a good high school offensive lineman, but you're not really dominating them the way that I see elite high school offensive linemen dominate their competition. And so you're going to come to the SEC and all of a sudden you're going to flip that switch? I don't know about that. So I have some questions. But give the guy credit. It seems like he's really attacked the off-season weight program the past couple of years and really reshaped his body, gotten stronger, gotten his body in shape, and put himself in position to be in the two deep. And I do. I expect him to be in that two deep as our number two center. So there you go. That's the offensive line, and that wraps up the offense. Now let's flip things over to the defensive side of the ball. Let's start in the front six. Let's start right in the middle of the defense. Let's go to the nose tackle position. This is going to be Nazir Stackhouse to open the season as a starter. He's going to start for us. I have no question about that. There's a number of positions on this team where you just know because you have incumbent starters. Now Naz, as we've talked about a couple times the past couple of weeks, didn't have a great year last year. It was certainly a regression from what we saw from him in 2022. We talked about the reasons why. I think maybe there might have been some contentedness, and he might have felt like he had made it, and there wasn't really about anybody ready to push him and really compete and challenge for that job. So, and I don't want to say he was coasting, but you kind of got that vibe at times. I think this year is going to be different for him. I think he knows how he played last year, and he knows he's better. He's even said as much. Like in the bowl game interviews last year, he straight up said, like, I know I haven't played like I can play, and I expect more from myself, and that's a big reason why he came back. So he knows it, but he also has some guys I think are going to be more equipped to actually legitimately challenge him at that spot this year. A guy like Jamal Jarrett. Christian Miller backed him up last year, but as we keep talking about, Christian Miller's, I don't think he's a zero tech nose. Like, he's a three tech. That's really what he is. But he had to play there out of necessity because we really did not have any other bodies that were true zero tech nose guards that were ready to push Nazir Stackhouse. So just kind of had to roll with Christian Miller there as a backup nose, and that's not really what he is. Jamal Jarrett looks like he is going to be ready to at least make somewhat of a push for that job. I don't expect him to win that job, but I think he will at least provide a serviceable backup option for us. He has a high level of potential. He's another guy whose body was just not ready to play in the SEC last year. He had a lot of bad weight, had to reshape his body, had to get stronger, had to work on his physical conditioning, all of those things. Also give him credit. He did all those things that he needed to do, and it looks like he has put himself in position to earn some playing time, not just in the spring, but into fall camp. And I believe that he will. So I'm going to say Nazir Stackhouse will start. I think Jamal Jarrett will be the backup. Xavier McLeod is a wild card there, the guy coming from South Carolina. I just don't really know what to expect from him because he was kicked off the team about halfway through the year and wasn't practicing with anybody. So where is he developmentally? That remains to be seen. I'll certainly be watching for that throughout spring practice and put my ear to the ground and see what I hear on that front because he could be a really good player for us at that zero-tech nose guard as well. But right now, I'm going to go Naz and Jaw at the nose. At the three-tech, I think that Warren Brinson and Christian Miller are remarkably similar players. I think their skill sets are very similar. I think their ceilings are very similar. So I expect those two to be the top two guys at the three-tech spot for us based off what I saw last year. With Warren being the starter, I'm going to give him the edge because, yeah, seniority. When guys are about equal in their skill set, typically you see coaches defer to experience and seniority, and Warren has the edge in both of those categories. So I expect him to be the starter, with Christian Miller being a guy that rotates liberally with him at that three-tech spot. Now, the wild card at the three-tech is Jordan Hall, the former five-star defensive tackle. That guy has a physical ceiling that neither Christian Miller or Warren Brinson can touch. Both those guys are really good players in their own right, but they don't have the physical upside that Jordan Hall does. The question about Jordan Hall is, are you ready, man? Are you ready? You got some playing time last year, especially early in the year, that really started to fade as the season progressed. Once we got into conference play, there were games where he just really was not playing at all outside of garbage time. I still maintain a large part of that was just his unfamiliarity with the system and not really knowing what was going on as a true freshman. I don't think he was playing fast because he didn't know what was going on. So he's the wild card, the ultimate wild card at this position. If he's ready to take the next step, he could become the best defensive lineman on the team and he would absolutely be starting. I just can't project that right now based off what I've seen to this point. I know what he's capable of long term, but how close is he right now? I don't know. He wasn't there last year. I would expect him to be closer this year, but how much closer? Because he was a good bit behind both Warren Brinson and Christian Miller last year, in my opinion. I do think he'll play this year. He's almost too talented to not play. You also don't want the guy to transfer, so you want to give him some playing time out there and keep him somewhat happy. But I don't expect him to be in the two deep to open the season. Maybe he earns it as the season progresses. Maybe. Hopefully, that would be great. Hopefully that happens because, as I've talked about many times, my biggest concern with this team, as it was last year, is do we have a difference maker on the defensive line? I think Jordan Hall, with his upside, can be that guy. He's the closest that we have to it on the roster. I just don't know how ready he is to be that guy. So with that in mind, in version 1.0 of this 2024 Georgia depth chart projection. I got to go with Warren Brinson to start the three tech and Chris Moore to back him up. And maybe, possibly, you can see Jordan Hall work himself up the depth chart a little bit as the season progresses. Then at the five tech, it's going to be Tyrion Ingram Dawkins. He's going to be that guy. He's also dealing with a little bit of an injury right now. He was one of those guys, one of those many guys that was on Kirby's injury list, which is not abnormal. This time of year, you see that. There's a lot of guys who are dealing with things during the season that have it cleaned up as soon as the season is over, and it might put them out of commission for spring practice. Jalen Walker was that way last year. Marvin Jones Jr., who's now at Florida State, he was that way last year. So that happens. It happens. But Ingram Dawkins, he's the guy with experience. He was playing with a messed up foot even when he came back last year. He was toughening his way through that. So tip of the cap to that guy. He had that cleared up during the offseason. He's not going to do too much, I would imagine, during spring practice. But he's, in my opinion, going to be that guy. I would project him to be the starter week one against Clemson based on his experience and based also his skills. He's a really talented player in his own right. Behind him is where I think the intrigue is. Gabe Harris is the guy. We brought him in initially as a jack, but he started to play some 5-tech last year for us. I still think he's undersized for a 5-tech. He's listed like 245. Now, is that a current weight? I don't know. If it is, that is light in the britches to be playing 5-tech in our defense, in our scheme. Like, I have serious questions about that. Now, if he's up to about 255, 260, okay, now we're talking. I can be down with that, but I don't know if that's where he is right now. That's not what he's listed at. The guy to watch here, as I've said many, many times, you know how high I am on this guy. I know he's young, and I know what I say about true freshmen in the trenches in the SEC. But I believe in Joseph Jonah Ajayi. Physically, he's ready to compete in the trenches in the SEC. From a size standpoint, at 275, he's ready. From a strength standpoint, he is ready. From an athleticism standpoint, explosive standpoint, he is ready. Physically, the dude has it. The questions are, technically, are you ready to do the things that you have to do from a fundamental standpoint to do that? Are you ready? Are you? I don't know. But I can tell you this, him being here as an early enrollee, being here for spring practice, that is going to help him. Because really, all he has to do is figure out how to play. He has to figure out the scheme. But the 5-tech, you don't have to know as much of the scheme as like an inside linebacker or a safety. Like, there's not as much that goes along with it. Like, your position is not as complex, right? You don't have to know as much of what everyone else is doing. You still have to know what the other defensive linemen are doing, and you have to know your twists and stunts and your fronts and all those kind of things. Sure, you have to know that, but you can get up to speed a little bit faster at that spot than you can at some other positions in the defense further back. So I am going to go out on a limb here. This is the first time I feel like I'm really going out on a limb with this projection. I'm going to say Joseph Jonah Ajayi is going to be in the two deep to open the season at the 5-tech. I just think right now, I know Gabe Harris has a year of experience on him, and he's a really good player, but if Gabe Harris is really only 245, even like 250, he's not big enough to play that spot in our scheme. He's just not. Maybe in like on third downs, if that's our plan with him, cool. I'm cool with that. I'm fine with that. On standard downs, where we're playing the run, you're going to be playing the run at the 5-tech at 245, 250? No. We have not had a single 5-tech in Kirby Smart's tenure that's been anywhere close to that size. We're talking Jonathan Ledbetter. We're talking Trayvon Walker. We're talking Mykel Williams. Nobody's been close to 245. So I think it's going to be Joseph Jonah Ajayi to back up TID as the number two 5-tech defensive end. And then I think we'll work Gabe Harrison situationally, but I just don't expect him to be in the two deep as like a legit 5-tech run-stopping option, which is really what we asked that position to do. That's their primary function. I just don't see it right now. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. And if I need to adjust it, I'll adjust it. But right now, based off what I know, the information I have to work with, I can't have Gabe Harris in the 2-deep at that spot. He just doesn't have the frame for it right now. All right, then at Jack, I know it's not the defensive line. Technically, it's a linebacker, but we'll go with Jack. Mykel Williams is making the move. He's going to be the starter at Jack, especially on standard downs. You might see some Chaz Chambliss working in at times. I expect Chaz's playing time to go down from about like 33% of the time to about, I don't know, 10-15% of the time. I expect him to see about 10-15% of our snaps. That would be my guess right now. When we get into obvious passing situations, we can do some different things with Mykel. We can slide Mykel down, get him a matchup on a guard. I expect third downs to be when you see Damon Wilson Jr. come off the bench, and he is going to be a pass rushing specialist for us at that Jack position. Samuel Mpemba is another name to watch. He's a guy that could do some of that as well, but last year Wilson was ahead of him. So if I'm just projecting too deep right now, which is what I'm doing, I can't say I have Mpemba ahead of Damon Wilson because Wilson was ahead of him last year, and so why would that change? It could, but based on the information I have right now, I can't project that. If Mpemba shows us something during spring practice, yeah, I'll adjust my thinking. But right now, based off what I know, I got to go Mykel Williams, and then I got to go Damon Wilson Jr., with Chaz Chandler's kind of working in there situationally on standard downs to just give Mykel Williams a blow. So yeah, that's how I see the Jack position playing out. And when we get back from this final break, we'll talk about the inside linebackers, and we'll move it further back, and we'll talk about the secondary. But first, let me remind you about our great friends at Alumni Hall. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but spring is officially here. The weather is nice, it's beautiful out there, the flowers are blooming, the sun is shining, and that means it's time for you to get the latest spring and summer Georgia gear, and there's no better place to do that at than Alumni Hall, because they're going to have all your favorite brands, they're going to have styles and options that you're not going to find anywhere else. They have options for the entire family, men, women, children, whatever you are in the market for, they are going to have you guys covered. Just take my word for it on that. So if you're in the market for some Georgia gear, it's a no-brainer. Go to Alumni Hall, stop by in-store here in Athens inside the Edgebridge Shopping Center just off 316 or online at alumnihall.com, because Alumni Hall is where the Bulldogs shop. All right, guys, let's go inside linebacker here. This one makes my head hurt. There's one guy that I know is going to start, and that is Smile Mundon at the Mac linebacker position. But here's the deal with Smile this spring. He ain't going to be doing much, guys. He was basically playing with a broken foot, a stretch fracture in his foot the last part of the season. That's why he didn't start the SEC Championship game. That's why we were subbing liberally against Georgia Tech. The guy was playing on more or less a broken foot. A stress fracture is like my worst nightmare, knock on wood. Like, that's tough, man. So he's been working himself back from that. Kirby said he could be doing some things. Obviously, he'll be around. He'll be in meetings. But I do not expect us to push it, because why? You know what this guy can do. He's a two-year starter for you, going into his third year as a starter. The reason he came back, honestly, was the stress fracture. Like, he would have gone pro if it wasn't for that. Like, you don't want to go through the NFL combine, the whole pre-draft process, with a stress fracture in your foot, because you can't really show what you can do. You're basically relying on film. So that's the primary reason why he ultimately decided to come back. And that is great for us, to be quite honest with you. So there's no reason to have him really do anything physically out there on the field, which means a lot of opportunities are going to be opened up for all of these young guys, this insanely talented crop of young linebackers. It's really hard to differentiate between them right now, guys. They're all so talented. Now, some of them bring different things to the table, but they are all so physically gifted, and it is going to be a problem trying to get all these guys in the field, because in this day and age of the transfer portal, like, you want to play these guys, so they're so gifted, and you want to have the next guy up, and the next guy up, the next guy up, year after year. But in the age of the transfer portal, it's not always that easy, because these guys are so good, they know how good they are, and they want to play. They're not playing, they're gonna go somewhere where they are gonna play. So it's a tough thing right now, and the spring is gonna be all about trying to make sense of all of that. And I do not envy our coaches in doing that. That's why they're paid the big bucks. They got to make those decisions. But that's going to be tough. It's tough for me as a fan, as a guy who sits down and watches these guys and breaks them down with a fine-tooth comb, figuring out who's better than who. So it's tough. It's tough. But I'm going to say that Smile is going to be the starter at Mac. Right now, I'm going to say C.J. Allen will open the season as the starter at the money position. He started last year when Pop Dumas Johnson was hurt, so I expect him to be that guy at the money position, which is not as much of a hybrid linebacker position in our defense as the MAC position is. Typically, we put our more athletic inside linebacker, more hybrid type guy like Smile Mundon, we put him at that MAC linebacker position. So I am going to go C.J. Allen to start at money right now. To back him up, I'm going to go Jalen Walker. Jalen Walker is a really, really, really good athlete. But he's 245 pounds, and he was playing some jack for us the past couple of years. He's a big linebacker. He's going to rush the passer a lot for us. We're going to use him in different ways on third downs. But if he gets on the field on standard downs, which he needs to because he's that good, I think that's going to be more in that money position. So I think he'll be in a rotation there with C.J. Allen. Behind Smile Mundon at the MAC position, I'm going to go Raylan Wilson. Y'all know how I feel about Raylan Wilson. I think this guy's upside is off the freaking charts. And I think he is going to be in a rotation with Smile Mundon there at that MAC position. I think we're going to have a four-man rotation. And that's still tough, because we have guys like Chris Cole and Chris Jones and Justin Williams, the number one linebacker in the country, who are not even in that group. Troy Bowles, another really talented inside linebacker who I really liked coming out of high school. I mean, we just can't find playing time for all these guys, and that sucks, because they're all deserving of playing. They're all that good, but you can't have like an eight-man rotation at inside linebacker. Four is even kind of pushing it. But I think we're going to have to roll with four guys there, at the very, very least. So that is the position outside of Smile Monday I find the most intriguing on this team. I love inside linebacker play. You guys know that. So I'm going to be watching that very, very closely. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know how that's going to play out. But my projection right now, again, I'm going to go Smile at Mac, backed up by Raylan Wilson, CJ Allen at money, backed up by Jalen Walker. All right, let's move things back to the secondary. Cornerback, I think, is wide open. I know Dalen Everett is an incumbent starter, but his holding that position was very, very tenuous last year, and he's going to have to go out there and earn it. Like, you can't just say, hey, Dalen's a starter like you can with Malachi Starks. Malachi Starks, you can say at safety, Malachi is a starter. That dude's a first-team All-American. No one is taking that position. Now, he's going to have to go out there and play, but, like, of course he's going to. He's that good. Dalen is going to have to really, really earn it. I don't think his hold is as strong on that spot as some other incumbent stars on our team. A guy like Tate Ratledge at right guard, Malachi Starks at safety, a guy like Dominic Lovett at the slot wide receiver position, Carson Beck at the quarterback spot. I don't think his hold is nearly as strong in that position as some of those other guys. And like inside linebacker, we have a ton of really talented options at cornerback. We know Julian Humphrey was a guy that was making a serious push for playing time last year. In fact, started to earn some playing time. Started the Missouri game last year. Daniel Harris is a guy that our coaches fought really hard to keep on campus, to keep within this program after he had announced he was going to enter the transfer portal. Thank God he's still with us because I think he has a lot of upside physically. His length is out of this world. It's crazy. We have the number one cornerback in the country coming out of high school this year in Ellis Robinson IV, DeMelo Jones, who I think is criminally underrated. I think he is a ridiculously good football player in his own right. Chris Peel is a guy that nobody really talks about, but I know our coaches like him. They did some really good things in practice on the scout team last year. He's going to throw his hat in the ring as well. There are a lot of options at that position, and it is going to be a hellacious battle for both of those cornerback spots. In our cornerback spots, we have a right corner, left corner. We don't play field and boundary stuff typically. They're rather interchangeable. So it's truly wide open. But if I had to project, which is what I'm here to do today, I'm going to go Dalen Everett. I'm going to give him a slight edge there. I'm going to say he's going to maintain his hold on one of those spots. I'm going to go Julian Humphrey at the other spot to be the starters. Behind Dalen, I'm going to go Ellis Robinson IV. And then behind Humphrey, I'm going to go Daniel Harris. But to be honest with you guys, that's truly me just guessing right now. And I'm using some information that we had from last year. It's an educated guess, but it's still a guess. Like, this is going to be earned during spring practice, during the summer months, during fall camp. It is wide open. I think Dalen Everett has shown that he's more of a complete cornerback. That's why I'm going to defer to him at one of those spots. And I think that Julian Humphrey's cover skills might be unmatched on the team. Daniel Harris, I have him in the 2D because his length is something that nobody else has. Like, we have guys with good length, but not Daniel Harris level length. And Ellis Robinson is just insanely physically gifted and insanely talented. So that's why I've got him in the 2D there. But it wouldn't shock me if DeBella Jones works his way into that conversation. Wouldn't shock me if it's Pete. I mean, again, our coaches were high on him based off what I was hearing coming out of practice last season. So that battle at both those corner spots, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch play out over the next couple of months. Then sliding inside the star position, this is another intriguing spot. I think there's a lot of intrigue in the secondary as a whole. At star, at our nickel position, the odds-on favorite still has to be Janelle Aguero. He's a guy that, you know, I was sky-high on last year. I thought there was a shot that he could potentially overtake Tyke Smith as the season progressed last year. Ultimately, we know that did not happen. A big part of that was because, yes, Tyke Smith was awesome for us last year, really elevated his game, and there were also some injuries that Aguero was dealing with that set him back. So it was a combination of those things, but he never really factored into that position as the season progressed. He never really did. But he is still the same type of player. He's still the same athlete. He still has the same physical tools. He's a prototype for that position. He's got the size. He's got the strength. He can cover. Now, if there's a question about Aguero, I do think it's the coverage ability. Because he was a safety in high school. Can he cover some of those smaller, shiftier, quicker slot receivers? I still do have some questions there, but until I have reason to doubt him, I'm not going to doubt him. I know, like, he was the heir apparent to Tyke Smith at that spot. So in my initial projections, version 1.0 here, I got to go Janelle Aguero. Behind him, I do think there are a number of options. KJ Bolden, who I think is more of a safety. Could he also play some star? Yeah, absolutely. He might be one of those guys who's just too talented to not have on the field, so you find a way to get him on the field, and maybe that's a star, potentially. Sure. Could you maybe slide one of the cornerbacks, like Dalen Everett, inside? If you feel like you have a lot of really good corners, and maybe you don't have enough like true stars, do you slide one of those guys in? Like, if Janelle Aguero goes down with an injury, do you slide a guy like Dalen Everett into the star position and next man up at cornerback? Maybe that's what you do. But right now, if I had to project it, based off what I know, I'm going to go Kyren Jones. The reason I'm going to go Kyren Jones right now behind Janelle Aguero is because that's what Kyren Jones played last year. Like, I don't know for a fact that he exclusively repped at star last year, but I know he repped a lot at star. And he played that position more than any other position last year in his freshman year. And he's also a physical guy. He's a guy that was being recruited by some schools as a running back. We saw him as a DB. We thought he kind of fit into that star defender role, a guy that could play against the run. He has the body type to be able to hold up about 200, 205 pounds. And I see that in him. I absolutely do. So I'm still going to go Janelle Aguero. I think physically, he's just a slight level above Kyren Jones. But I think Kyren's a good player in his own right. And right now, I would project him to be the backup to Janelle Aguero at that star position. All right, moving back to safety. One spot we know Malachi Starks is the starter. Zero questions asked. Returning All-American, incumbent starter. He is that guy, future first-round draft pick. The other position, wide open. Now, Malachi, like, our safety positions are pretty much interchangeable, too. Technically, Malachi plays free safety, and Javon played strong safety for us last year. But they can be interchangeable. It's not as strict of a free safety, strong safety divide as it used to be once upon a time. But whatever, who cares? Just details here. That other position, strong safety, is wide open. And there is no shortage of legitimate contenders for that spot. You've got Dan Jackson, who has starting experience for us. You've got David Daniel Sisavon, who's been in the program for a long time, just like Dan, has starting experience for us. You've got the uber-talented five-star freshman KJ Bolden. You've got Alabama transfer Jake Pope. Ja'Cory Thomas is a guy who's been in our program for a couple of years now. The options are plentiful. But in making a projection for that strong safety spot, this is another position where I'm going to go on a little bit of a limb. I have not done that at too many positions. I've been very cautious with version 1.0 of this depth chart projection because we don't have as much information to work with right now. All the information we have to work off of is what happened last year and the year before that. Some of these newcomers, we don't know as much about. We don't know where they are in their development. So that makes it tougher. We'll have more information after spring. So I've been more cautious with this than I probably will be in version 2.0 and version 3.0 later in the offseason. But allow me to go out on one more limb here. I'm going to project Alabama transfer Jake Pope as the starter at strong safety to open the season. Now, hear me out on this. This is not a projection that I have a high degree of confidence in. If we were doing a scale of 1 to 10 on a confidence meter, I'd say like maybe a 2 or a 3. But I'm still going to make that projection anyway, because I wouldn't be confident in any of these guys right now. KJ Bolden is probably the most physically gifted. Not probably, he is the most physically gifted of the bunch. But he's a true freshman. How ready is he right now? That's a legitimate question. Dan Jackson and David Sisavon have the experience edge on everybody else within our system, but there's also a reason that they've been around so long and haven't really played all that much because they aren't as physically gifted. I think Jake Pope is kind of the happy medium. I think he's the middle ground, the best of both worlds. I believe that he's more physically gifted, a better athlete than Dan Jackson, and a better athlete than David Daniel. He doesn't have as much experience as those guys, but I do think he has at least a slight edge physically on those more experienced players within our system and Dan Jackson and David Daniel Sisavon. In no world is Jake Pope as physically talented as KJ Bolden. Clearly not. But he does have an experience edge. Now you might say, well, Tyler, he's brand new to our system too. True, that's true. But you also have to factor in where he's coming from. He's coming from Alabama, which is not a carbon copy of our defense, but there is a lot of carryover. There's a lot of overlap. There are a lot of similarities. So his transition to our defensive system will not in any way involve near as much of a learning curve as it will for a guy like KJ Bolden coming as a brand new true freshman. And look, maybe Kirby defaults to the guys that have put the time in the system, have invested the time in the system, have shed blood, sweat, and tears for the Georgia Bulldogs. Maybe he goes with Dan Jackson like he did in 2022. Maybe he goes with David Daniel Sisavon. He's been in the program for a long time too. They paid their dues. That is certainly possible. That's why I say I have like a 2 to 3 out of 10 level of confidence on this projection. But I do think that Jake Pope represents the best of both worlds. He represents that happy medium. And I think people are selling Jake Pope short. I know he was a three-star coming out of high school, but if you watch that guy's tape, we were pretty high on him. We recruited that guy. And I liked his tape coming out of high school a couple years ago. And I know the knock is, okay, he didn't even start at Alabama. He's going to come start for Georgia. Like, what a step down from Javon Bullard. Guys, we have to understand who he was behind. True, he didn't start at Alabama. Yeah, he was behind Caleb Downs. So if Jake Pope sucks because he was behind Caleb Downs at Alabama, then about 99% of the other stages in the country also suck. You know who also wouldn't have started for Alabama last year? Javon Bullard. I love Javon. You think he was going to start over Caleb Downs last year? Nope. So if you hold that against Jake Pope and you use that as your rationale for why he's not going to start at Georgia and he's not really a true contender for that position, I think that's extremely misguided. Now, again, I can't guarantee you he's going to start. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I think he's got a legitimate shot. I think he's the best of both worlds. I think he's that happy medium. And I'm not going to hold it against him that he didn't start over Caleb Downs. This guy's a much better athlete than I think most Georgia fans realize, because most Georgia fans don't really know much about this guy, because why would you? He's at Alabama. He wasn't a five-star recruit, so he wasn't somebody that everyone was clamoring over coming out of high school. But he's another guy like K.J. Bolden. I've told you guys many times, I've seen K.J. Bolden play live many times in high school. I saw Jake Pope play live. Jake Pope can play, guys. There's a reason why we took him. Kirby Smart does not make a habit of taking guys that are just going to sit on our bench. He takes you if he thinks you can help us. He thinks Jake Pope can potentially help us. I also have that same belief. So I'm going to go Jake Pope to start at strong safety. Behind him, I'm going to go Dan Jackson. And then behind Malachi Starks at free safety, that's where I'm going to go K.J. Bolden. Now, here's the caveat. As I said a few minutes ago, our safety positions, free and strong, yeah, technically they're different positions, but they're rather interchangeable. So if you can play free safety, you can also play strong safety in our defense. So maybe as the season progresses, K.J. Bolden starts to grow up, he starts to master the system, and he's too talented to keep up the field. Maybe that's the case. We know Malachi Starks is going to be playing all year. Like, we just know that. So maybe you slide Malachi Starks over to strong safety. Because I think Malachi's more of a strong safety than K.J. Bolden is. I think K.J.'s more of like a legit, true, old-school free safety. I think Malachi is a little bit thicker, a little bit bigger, stronger, all that stuff. So I think he fits more. He can fit more as a strong safety. I think he's also a free safety, but he can play strong safety better than I believe K.J. could in our system. So maybe you slide Malachi over to strong and you insert K.J. at free. But I'm not going to project that right now to be the way that we open the season. So yeah, there you go, guys. I think that covers every single position. So there you have it. That is my 2024 Georgia football depth chart projection version 1.0. And as we get more information throughout the spring, throughout the summer, into fall camp, I will adjust this. I'll come back after spring practice and we'll do version 2.0. And then after fall, I guess in the middle of fall camp, we'll do version 3.0 right before kickoff of the 2024 season. And that's all I got for you on today's episode. I will be back on Thursday night with a closer look at the Georgia baseball team now as we head into conference play. We have our conference opener on the road this weekend at Kentucky. The Diamond Dogs have been an unstoppable force through non-con play, 17-1 entering conference play, the best start in modern program history. I did a season preview a couple weeks back, but now that we're heading to conference play, I want to do kind of a reset and get you guys up to speed with where we are right now, who's playing well, what's our starting lineup look like, who's hitting the cover off the baseball, which is basically everyone in the lineup. And I'm going to try to answer the question of, is this Georgia baseball team for real? Because I've had some people reach out and say, hey, is this team really that good, or have we just played nobody? Well, listen in on Friday, and we'll talk about it. So I'll see you guys then. But for now, I'm Tyler, and as always, go Dawgs!